Let's pray as we stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, for all that he is, for all that you have accomplished through him. And we pray now that as we consider more truth about him this morning, you would open our hearts, help us to see him more as he is, and help us to respond to him in a way that is worthy of him. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this last week, more details of the Queen's Diamond Jubilee celebrations were announced. The first weekend of June next year, this equivalent weekend, will be the main focus and will include a service of thanksgiving at St Paul's Cathedral, a pageant on the River Thames, and the lighting of beacons throughout the United Kingdom. Special occasions in the life of a king or a queen are often remembered and marked. Well, of course, for Christians, there are many important events that we remember about the earthly life of Jesus, the one who is the King of Kings. So, of course, we think of his birth, we think of his baptism and his teaching, his transfiguration on the mountain, and especially we remember his death on the cross and his rising from the dead. But there was another important event in Jesus' earthly life, and that was the final departure from the earth, what is usually called his ascension. Now, traditionally, Ascension Day is 40 days after Easter. That was last Thursday, so today is the Sunday after Ascension Day. And we read about Jesus' ascension in the Bible readings. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And when Jesus had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Now, sometimes people think that it's a rather odd thing that Jesus was lifted up in this sort of a way. But it seems that Jesus ascending was the way that God chose for Jesus to leave, because it helped the disciples and all of us since to realize that Jesus had really gone from the earth. Jesus' earthly life had come to an end. If he had just disappeared from their sight, as he had done several times before, then they would have just thought that they might see him again in some other resurrection appearance. But ascending to heaven, as we read of it, makes it clear that Jesus has now left the earth and gone back to heaven. Now, when Jesus ascended, we read that a cloud took him out of their sight. Now, in the Bible, clouds are often associated with the very presence of God. It's a sign of glory, of wonder, and of God himself being there. So there were clouds when the Ten Commandments were given. There were clouds when Jesus was affirmed as God's Son on the Mount of Transfiguration. So as Jesus ascends, what was going on was the early stages of Jesus being welcomed into the glorious presence of God in heaven. The ascension of Jesus is really his being glorified as king. Now, Jesus is worthy of receiving glory as king because he has won the victory over death and sin in his death on the cross and in his resurrection. The truths of the ascension of Jesus are indeed very precious, the things that the ascension points us to. Jesus' ascension confirms that Jesus is indeed God. God, the eternal Son, who has become the Son of God on earth, died, rose again, and now shares in the glory of God and the rule of God in heaven and on earth. His ascension and his position now seated in the supreme place of honor, the right hand of God, as we've just affirmed in the Creed, prove that Jesus has done the job that he came to earth to do. That is, rescuing people who rely on him and bringing them into relationship with God because he died and rose again, and they have made that their own by trusting in him. And Jesus' ascension encourages believers in Jesus. We read in the Epistle to the Hebrews that after Jesus had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And then the letter continues, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So Jesus has done his work on earth, but he continues to work for us in heaven at the Father's right hand. Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father forever. And that is a reminder forever that what he has done on the cross is effective and makes those who believe in him acceptable to God. Jesus is able now to lavish on us the benefits he has won through his death. So Jesus is our advocate, representing us to God, pleading our case and presenting our prayers. So can I ask, do you get discouraged at times? Do you feel concerned about your own faithfulness and your need for forgiveness? Well, draw near to God through this ascended and glorified Jesus and be reassured that he is interceding for you, pleading his sacrifice once for all before the Father on your behalf. The ascension then is evidence that Jesus is God the Son, that he has completed his work and he's now in heaven looking after us and interceding for us. And in that Bible reading we had from Acts, we see something of the importance of the ascension, especially connected to two promises. And that's where the rest of our focus is this morning. The first promise is the promise of the return of King Jesus. So we read in chapter 1, verse 10, "And while they were gazing into heaven, as Jesus went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. And they said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'" So just as angels announced Jesus' birth and proclaimed his resurrection, so they explain his ascension. Now the disciples were amazed by seeing Jesus return to heaven, but the angels wanted them to realize that they would not bring Jesus back by looking up at the sky. "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven?" they say. Jesus has finished his work. He has gone, gone for good, until, that is, he returns at the end of time as we know it to finally and fully bring in God's loving kingdom rule. So the fact of the ascension of Jesus at the end of his earthly life is a reminder that he will return to earth to rule fully one day. Now, in some ways, Jesus' final return will be, as the angels say, in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. In that sense, it will be visible. People had seen him go, people will see him return. It will be glorious. There was the cloud as he ascended to heaven, as we've seen a symbol of the in the Bible of God's being very near. Well, Jesus shared God's glory as he returned to heaven after his death and resurrection. He will share God's glory when he returns to earth. But the rest of the Bible helps us to realize that when Jesus returns, every eye will see him. Then, when he ascended, it was just a few. When he returns, everyone will see him. And all that is wrong will be seen as wrong. And all that is right will be confirmed as right. God's full justice will be experienced by everyone. And that is very good news. This last week, the former Bosnian Serb army general Ratko Mladic has appeared before the International War Crimes Tribunal in The Hague. And it's claimed that he was responsible for genocide in Bosnia in the 90s. Well, the hope is that now justice will be done as he faces a trial. A few years ago, Slobodan Milosevic, the Serbian president, was being tried for war crimes, but he died during the hearing. People said at the time, justice has not been done. Well, Jesus' return to judge means that justice may not always be seen to be done in this life, but it will be done one day. We can be sure of that. But of course, there's a warning in that too. If a Milosevic will be judged, well, then so will you and I. We may not be guilty of war crimes, but we have all turned away from God and are guilty before him. The only way to escape that judgment is through what Jesus has done on the cross, a work that is complete and fully effective, as the ascension assures us. So as we put our trust in him, we can be confident for that day. So the return of Jesus is a great hope to have. But of course, we don't know when it will happen. The angels told the disciples not to be looking up to the sky, wondering when it will take place. So verse 6 in our reading, "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. So you see, Jesus will return, but we don't know when that will be. We cannot know, because as Jesus says here and elsewhere, only God the Father knows. And so that puts those frankly ridiculous predictions of 89-year-old Californian preacher Harold Camping into perspective. Do you remember he said the world was going to end on the 21st of May? What we know from what Jesus says here and in the Gospels is that if you hear someone predicting a date, you know that they must be wrong, because only God the Father knows. However, there will be an end to the world as we know it, but we don't know when it will be. As the angel said in the reading, this Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So the question is not so much when, but are we ready for it whenever it will be? Are we ready by relying on Jesus' death and resurrection and seeking to live with him now? Well, that leads us to the other promise connected to King Jesus' ascension, a promise about a job to do and help to do it. And that is the promise of the Holy Spirit's help to witness to King Jesus. Just before Jesus is exalted to God the Father's right hand, he makes a promise here in Acts chapter 1 to the disciples. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Well, we're going to be thinking about the coming of the Holy Spirit to all God's people next week as we mark the day of Pentecost, Whit Sunday. How the Holy Spirit is God, the eternal Spirit, who points people to Jesus, and how, as Jesus' other self, he does for us just what Jesus would do if he was still here on the earth. But notice here, there's a key reason given for the Holy Spirit's coming, and that is witness. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and so on. So as Jesus' followers, we have a task of witness, that is, of being signposts pointing others to Jesus. Now, these first disciples were to be witnesses where they were, in Jerusalem, then in the wider region in Judea, then in the neighbouring areas like Samaria, and then even to the ends of the earth, to the whole world. And Christians today are part of the same movement. But how can we, in our weakness, be involved in such a task? We often ask when we're honest. How can we even think about how we can point those around us to Jesus? It just seems too difficult. Well, this promise, just before Jesus' ascension, is that we are not alone. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. See, Jesus may now be in heaven at God the Father's right hand, but he sends his Holy Spirit to help us to be his witnesses. And this is such a great promise. Just imagine what it would have been like if Jesus had stayed on the earth after he'd been raised from the dead. People would have wanted to see Jesus, and thousands would have tried to get some time with him. Many more thousands, of course, would never have the opportunity. On earth, Jesus was limited to space and time. He could openly only be in one place at one time. But by sending the Holy Spirit to take his place in the lives of his followers, Jesus' presence and help in the task of being signposts to him can be with all his people, all the time, anywhere and everywhere. Well, we began thinking of how events in a king or queen's life have importance. Well, how much more is that true with King Jesus? Jesus' ascension to heaven after his death and resurrection is evidence once and for all that Jesus is God the Son. It shows he has completed his work and he is now in heaven looking after us and interceding for us. And we have two great promises here connected to the ascension. The promise of the return of King Jesus to fully bring in God's kingdom. And the promise of the Holy Spirit's help to witness to King Jesus as we wait. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great truth that Jesus has now been glorified, having completed his work. We thank you that he now reigns and rules with you. And we thank you for these promises that he will one day return. And that as we wait for that return, you send us your Spirit. Please strengthen us, we pray, by your Spirit, that we might live as your people with King Jesus and for King Jesus. And we ask for his sake. Amen.